You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Point West with Bobby West, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Point West,
All righty, good morning and welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. The world's greatest radio. You're listening to Point West, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I don't have my headphones on today. How about that? It's been a rough morning already. I'm going to put them on. Excuse me if you're looking through YouTube. Okay, now I'm ready. Okay, we go where you go. Today, we have two interviews, one by Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. Many have asked about her and how, and some don't even know how she sounds, but this is an interview. It's about an hour and 7 minutes, but she brings out some good points that we should know about racism. And you have to understand, and many of us, that is black people, don't understand that we are victims. We were born into this system, but some of us don't realize that. And she breaks it down and tries to explain it to us. Then the second interview will come with the Dr. Umar Johnson on The Breakfast Club. Very outstanding young man, very good things to say, and very informative things that we need to understand about our plight and what we are into and what we can do and need to do. So pay attention to that. I understand our phone line. We had some problems with our phone lines last week, but some of them are being worked out. If you desire to call, it can be at the end or the conclusion of the two interviews, 877-932-9766. If you Gmail me, it's number 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. As you're listening, we'd like for you to listen through the our page, our webpage. Just go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and just hit listen live. You're there. You can also view the show on YouTube. Just go to the YouTube channel, type in TalkTainment, then TalkTainment number 2. Okay, and then scroll down to radio, and you're right there. Okay, and lastly, you can go to Facebook.com/TalkTainment, and you're there. Okay, so without further ado, because this is a rather long interview but very informative, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. And when I get the signal, we can go. Here we go.
General and Child Psychiatry in Washington, D.C.
Howard University College of Medicine Assistant Professor of Pediatrics. Hillcrest Children's Center, Clinical Director, 1975 to 76, affiliated with Paul Robeson School for Growth and Development, North Community Mental Health Center, Washington, D.C. The National Medical Association, Section on Psychiatry and Behavior Science, American Medical Association, and the American Psychiatric Association. Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, welcome to the Ted Terry Show.
Oh, thank you. I want to correct, not the American Medical Association, the National Medical Association.
I thought I said that. Okay, I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dr. Welsing, author and creator of the Kress-Welsing Theory, analyzing the nature of white supremacy. In 1970, the paper, The Kress Theory, Color Confrontation and Racism. You published the ISIS papers back in 1970, is that correct?
Third World Press published the ISIS papers in 1990.
Okay. The Keys to Color.
Yes.
Okay. You say that the white collective, ultimately perceived the black males as a threat to its genetic survival. And that collective has sought to attack the black male and block his development. Can you explain, Dr. Welsing, the Kress Theory?
The Kress Theory was written in the late 1960s and first presented in 1970 because as a psychiatrist, as a practicing psychiatrist, I wanted to understand what was making black people mentally and emotionally ill. And in taking histories on black patients, something as pertaining to racism, white supremacy, was always prominent in the history. And so I determined that I needed to understand more about racism. You know, many people at that time thought racism was tied simply to economic factors. But once you become a physician, you need to really understand, because you're charged with helping people get better, helping people get well. And so I was looking for more in-depth answers to what racism really was all about. I had met a gentleman whose name was Neely Fuller Jr., and he had been writing about racism from the mid-1950s, and he was the first to say that racism, white supremacy, was a total global system for white power domination on planet Earth. And so as a psychiatrist, in that this system covered all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And so I simply raised the question in my own mind, why would such a system come into being on planet Earth? And I determined that this power system, this specific power system of white domination, was really most fundamentally related to the fact that the white population was itself a tiny, tiny minority population on the planet. Fewer than one-tenth of the people on the planet have white skins. The second thing, that white skin is a genetic recessive trait compared to the ability to produce skin coloration, which is a genetic dominant trait. And so I determined that racism evolved as a system to prevent the genetic annihilation of the white population. You know, if all the people on the planet loved as prescribed by Dr. Martin Luther King, and they had sex, white color would disappear on the planet. If people who classify themselves as white do not want white to disappear, then they have to control the behavior. They have to totally control the non-white global majority. So if that's the case, in other words, it is males who, it's only males. Females cannot impose sexual intercourse on males, but males can impose sexual intercourse on females. And so if indeed the global white population was fearful of white genetic annihilation, then the number one target of attack would be black males. of all the males of color, it is black males who have the greatest genetic potential to produce melanin pigmentation that colors skin. And so consciously and or subconsciously, the white population has to zero in on black males, and out of that we ended up at one point in history, which hasn't really stopped, with the lynching and the castration of black men by the white collective, the attacking of the genitals. And castration means the attack of the testicles, and the testicles is where the genetic material is. And so consciously, subconsciously, it is perceived that this is the part of the anatomy that causes white genetic annihilation, so let me attack it and let me cut it off. And that is also tied to what used to be constantly said: the black man attacked a white female, the black man was thinking about attacking a white female, the black male looked at a picture of the white female, or even in the case of 14-year-old Emmett Till, he was attacked because he was supposed to have said something to a white male in Mississippi at that time.
The image of Emmett Till, when it was placed into Jet magazine, what message did that send?
Well, the same message that was sent to all of the black males over the South, that this is what will happen to you if you think about, or do you see, if it's thought that you thought about having sexual relations with a white female in the same manner that white males had had sexual relationships with African women during the whole course of the formal enslavement of black people, including most of the founding, what people call the founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, etc. And I say that they should really be called by black people the fondling fathers.
The what fondling?
The fondling.
Fondling fathers. Okay. How does one look at racism, and I quote you, as a dynamic factor?
Well, I maintain that black people really cannot have mental health. They actually, we don't qualify to be intelligent. You see, intelligence means to have information about the environment in which you live. If racism, white supremacy, is the dominant force on planet Earth, any non-white people who do not have knowledge of how racism, white supremacy works cannot really claim to have intelligence, and they cannot really have mental health. It's the same thing as if you live on planet Earth and you need oxygen to breathe, to survive, and you don't understand the importance of oxygen, then you cannot function effectively on planet Earth.
Can you destroy the myth that black people can be considered racist?
Well, racism is not an attitude. Racism is a power structure, so that the people, the non-white people on the planet who are victims of racism, white supremacy, cannot simultaneously be considered to be in power. I mean, it's like someone being in prison. They're not in the same posture or status as the warden of the prison who holds the keys. No, one is a prisoner, one is a warden. So black people can have attitudes, and certainly people who have been oppressed have attitudes about the oppressor, but that doesn't mean that they have the power to oppress the people who are oppressing them. And this is what, you see, people have to determine and have to look at. Does racism, white supremacy, does white supremacy actually exist on planet Earth? You see, somebody might ask the non-white people in Iraq whether racism, white supremacy actually exist on planet Earth. You see, you can ask the Native Americans, and you can certainly ask black people, does white supremacy exist? You see, it's not black people who determine whether white people have jobs or where they live or where they have to move from. No, it's people who classify themselves as white have the power to make those decisions.
I noticed some of the talk show hosts on some of the television programs, and I was listening to one show one day, and this talk show host says that Al Sharpton, he's a racist. And I listened to that, and I'm going like, how can Al Sharpton be a racist?
Well, do you see, one way that, you see, again, going back to the fact that people who classify themselves as white are a tiny, tiny minority of people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to secure power is to confuse people, to tell people, for example, they live in a democracy, whereas in reality they live in a system of racism, white supremacy. Do you see, or throw words around that they do not bother to define? Do you see, so one could say, well, what power does Reverend Al Sharpton have over the lives of people who classify themselves as white?
You made a statement, and I quote you, we are now nearing the final decade of the 20th century. Recently, there has been an unraveling and an analysis of the core issue of the first global power system of mass depression. The power system.
You're listening to the Francis Kress Welsing interview on Point West, heard through TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Understands the fundamental issues. Now, that's where I stop, where you say understands the fundamental issues. Do they not understand, or do they understand, as you quote here?
I'm sorry.
Well, in other words, you say one of the collective victims' non-white population understands the fundamental issue, the ultimate organizing of all appropriate behavior necessary to neutralize the great injustice of white supremacy power system that will only be a matter of time. And then you say the length of time required to neutralize global white supremacy will be inversely proportioned to the level of understanding of the phenomena.
If you're asking, in other words, you can't solve a problem that you don't really understand.
That is true.
And so this is why I think it's very important to have an analysis of what the problem is. For a long time, it's like when black people, when we were victims of formal enslavement, and we were saying, take the chains off, we thought that that would be an answer. We thought it was just the fact that we had chains on and we were enslaved. Take the chains off. Well, once the chains were taken off, then the legal structure took over so that there were laws prescribing what black people could do and could not do. And then we eventually moved to a civil rights, meaning changing the laws that contain black people. These are, analysis. First we thought, well, it was just the chains, and then we thought it was just the laws. And now we are able to see that we actually are dealing with a system that manipulates all aspects of people activity, and we understand that it is a system. And so I say it's imperative that people increase their understanding of what this global system of racism, white supremacy is all about, not for the purpose of hating white people, but for the purpose of replacing the global system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice on this planet so that there can be peace. And justice meaning no people are mistreated, and those people who need the most help get the most help. Then we have the conditions in which peace can prevail. But as long as there is white supremacy, which is a tiny minority of people controlling the vast majority of people on the planet, and that necessitates continuous war, preemptive and continuous war against people of color on planet Earth. Well, out of that injustice, you cannot have peace. And so the position that I and others are taking is that we must establish a system of justice on planet Earth. Replace the system of racism, white supremacy with a system of justice.
This is Ted Terry. You're listening to the Ted Terry Show. My guest, the renowned psychiatrist, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. Dr. Welsing, I understand your entry into psychiatry was somewhat of an accident. And if that was so, how did you feel about the Freudian psychoanalytic theory as well as Greek mythology as you were going through school? Can you expound on that, please?
Well, I never, when I was in medical school, you know, my brain computer said Freudian psychoanalytic theory did not compute. But you have to learn certain things, even though they may not make sense. You learn it and, you know, hopefully can pass an examination regarding that. But it didn't make sense. And so I never, when I was in medical school, I never thought about being a psychiatrist. And I did an internship, and at that point, I was going to do pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
But I got married at the last minute. I thought I was going to be in Chicago, and at the last minute I had to come back to Washington, D.C., and was not able to get a residency in pediatrics. And a friend said, well, why don't you do a residency in psychiatry for a year, and then you can go back and do pediatrics. And I did that, and then once I started working with psychiatric patients, I found it very interesting and intriguing in wanting to find out what was making people mentally ill in general, and in particular, what was making black people mentally ill. And so that factor, you know, where my curiosity was really turned on by solving certain kinds of clinical problems. And the other thing I tell people sometimes, the lazy factor, because in psychiatry you don't have to stay up all night many times. And so I say, wow, when I was doing an internship, we would be on duty 12 hours and off 12 hours, on duty 12 hours, off. And when you were on duty all night, you had to be called at all hours. And so once I stopped doing that, I said, wow, I'm not going to stay up all night ever again. And so then I got stuck in psychiatry and realized that that was really where I was supposed to be.
In other words, that's your passion.
That's my passion. I consider it to be one of the most interesting areas in medicine.
Freud's thesis on sex repression, what did you mean by Freud's thesis on sex repression did not help the Jewish people under the white supremacy of Hitler?
Well, if you read Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, he said that Jewish people, it wasn't a matter of their religion. He said it wasn't a religion, it was a race. And Adolf Hitler was an espouser of espoused white supremacy. And he said that the Semites of the Jewish religion were not white. And all one has to do is think about the area of the world in the Middle East where they originated, North Africa, the Middle East, and those people were non-white people. And so anyone who is concerned about white supremacy is concerned about the genetic dominance of people who are carrying genetic material from people of color. And so this is what Adolf Hitler was really talking about, and all the people in Europe who cooperated with Adolf Hitler, including, you see, when Semites of the Jewish religion even asked President Roosevelt to help them, he did not move to help them. And again, I say that this is based on how are people classified. Now people of the Jewish religion in this area of the world have taken on a white classification. But this was not the way that they were looked upon in Europe. This was not the way they were looked upon by Adolf Hitler. So Adolf Hitler killed gypsies, who he said were not white. He killed black people who were the products of African soldiers or black soldiers from World War One and German women. He killed those people. So, you know, Hitler was cleansing Europe, in his mind, of people who were classified as non-white.
So do we
so
see...
Freud, do you see Freud, and it's just like Karl Marx. Karl Marx, if you look at a picture of Karl Marx, he looks so similar to Frederick Douglass, and Karl Marx was so dark in his family, they called him nigger. And so you had Semites of the Jewish religion, some lighter, some darker. But they were being discriminated against because of their color and where they came from, what part of the world they came from. But it's just like if people want to be accepted. It's like you have black people who say, I didn't leave anything in Africa. I'm an American.
Right, right.
You see, and right. So when Hitler said, we're going to destroy the Jews or destroy the Semites, their response was, we're German. Do you see? So
yes.
That they were not thinking, or they did not choose to think about so-called racial classification. But this is what Adolf Hitler and company and the German people were thinking about.
How does assimilation into the society, there was a program that I would watch, and it says, resistance is futile. You will be assimilated.
I don't know what you... What
well,
you,
anyway, what I'm trying to get to is that African black people, under the assumption of being an American, being accepted under white supremacy, assimilate this, the assimilation factor under the white supremacy banner.
Well, I was just recently reading two articles, one in the Washington Post, or the Washington Times, just yesterday. There was an article about the descendants, the black descendants of Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Jefferson, like many other slave masters, had sexual relations with African women and produced offspring.
Yes.
And now you have the black descendants of Thomas Jefferson seeking to be accepted into the Jefferson family. And the article was detailing the resistance on the part of many of the white descendants into accepting these black members of the Jefferson family. Well, and then there was another article about the daughter of Josephine Primus, the black dancer in the 1960s and 70s, I guess. And she was married to a white banker's son. And there was an article about her daughter in the New York Times, the Sunday edition of the New York Times style section, I think about 2 weeks ago. And she was talking about the fact that, you know, in essence, she was a mulatto. She called herself a demi-wasp, but she's a non-white woman, a black woman, lighter-skinned black woman, who was talking about the difficulties that the white socialites in New York have in accepting her. You see, now her father's white, her mother's black, but she is not welcomed in every setting. And she was writing a book about her mother and talking about that. So whether it's in Thomas Jefferson's time or whether it's in, you know, in the descendants that came from him or whether talking about current times, that if they're going to...
TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to go into the second part of the interview with Dr. Francis Kress-Welsing, heard here on Point West on TalkDavidRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement. Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. Did you hear that? Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. You can buy a home from Lenco Realty for less than rent. For details, call 614-375-2BUY. That's 614-375-2289. Or log on to repohomelist.com. That's repohomelist.com and claim your American dream.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Goodwill is a global social services enterprise and the leading nonprofit provider of job training programs and career services in the United States and Canada. To pay for its program, Goodwill sells donated clothes and other household items in more than 2,700 stores and online at shopgoodwill.com. Goodwill uses the revenue earned from these sales to fund job training, employment placement services, and other community programs. The goal of the campaign is to increase goods donations to Goodwill, inspire an emotional connection to the Goodwill brand, and to elevate preference for Goodwill.
Supporting minority education. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. I'm here to tell you that as the mother of a high school senior, I know due to financial circumstances, many of America's deserving minority students do not have access to a college education. Since 1944, the United Negro College Fund has sought to provide one. Since 1972, the beginning of this campaign, UNCF has helped more than 300,000 talented students earn a college degree. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. Give a helping hand.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment. with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at talktainmentradio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power.
You are the power. Right here on TalkTainment Radio.
Yes, you really are the power here at TalkTainmentRadio.com. Let me say a happy belated birthday, if you will, in remembrance of Malcolm X, born May 19th, 1925. That's, so that would have been yesterday, 95 years old. You're listening to an interview with Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing on this program, Point West. We will return to it in just a few moments, or right now, as soon as they give me the signal, we will turn to that. It's going to go over a little bit, but then we'll go into the second interview with Dr. Omar Johnson. Thank you for listening.
People mixing with white people at the genetic level, and then have white continue to exist. Like, I ask white people in lecturing many times, I ask people who are classified as white, do you want your children to be colored? Do you want your grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be colored?
And the answer?
I'm polite and they're polite. The answer is no. So I say, well, if that is a truthful answer, on a planet in which the people of color are the overwhelming majority, then you have to do certain specific things to prevent white genetic annihilation and to ensure white genetic survival. Mm-hmm. And the things that they do, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, are the things that are necessary to ensure white genetic survival, to prevent white genetic annihilation, and that is what we call racism, white supremacy. Do you see? So that, yes, on the surface, you might turn on the TV and you go to a movie and you might see a black man relating to a white female in the movies, or in your state of California, you probably have a large number, a relatively large number of black and white mixed couples.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, while you are looking at the surface, you see, oh, well, there's a white female with a black male. There's a white female with an Asian male. But then you have millions of black men incarcerated.
Yes.
So you have, which is effectively genocide, because you are taking thousands, hundreds of thousands of black men in their reproductive years and incarcerating them, given sentences that white males are not given for the same crime. So you have removed them from the pool of reproducing themselves. Am I making myself clear?
No, you're making yourself quite clear.
You see, so that the sum total, you see, the algebraic sum, if you will, would be behavior to ensure white genetic survival and to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth.
How does the black female play a role in the game? And I call white supremacy a game.
Well, do you see, if you want to call it a game, it is a power system,
okay,
that will take your life. And that is not quite a game.
Okay. It is a power system that will take your life. Okay. So my question is, how does the black female play the role in this power system of white
supremacy? Well, you see, black males and black females, we're all in a group. And so it's just like black males and black females. If you do not understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, you will basically be moving around in a state of confusion. For example, the movie Bring Down the House with Queen Latifah.
Yes.
Do you see, the only way that she could, or Halle Berry in Monsters Ball.
Right.
The only way that as black women, and even though Halle Berry's mother is white, she's a black female.
Yes.
That the only way that they could possibly participate in playing those roles is that they do not understand racism, white supremacy. So they do not understand what would constitute an image of respect for themselves as a black female. You see, just because somebody says, oh, I'm going to put you in the movies, that, if a person doesn't understand racism, white supremacy, the person say, oh, I'm accepted. Racism doesn't exist. I'll pay you millions of dollars to play this role, to demean yourself. Okay, I mean, take Monsters Ball, where you have a black woman whose husband is killed by a white man, and then she subsequently takes up and has a sexual relationship with that white man. You see, that's quite profound. So that's basically a message. Even though I kill your man, you should be relating to me. But if you don't understand the system, if you don't understand the system, then you don't understand what would constitute respect, what would constitute self-respect. Do you see, or for that matter, any black male who is playing a role of a gangster and a thug, or any black person who is talking just, you know, gross, trashy talk, men calling themselves dogs,
right,
calling women bitches,
right,
and then those two join together and have a little bow wow,
right,
and not understanding the significance of this. Do you see, but I'm an advocate of black people should study in depth the history of Nazi Germany and what happened to the Semites of the Jewish religion, who were targeted as being non-white people, not deserving of life, and so therefore should be killed. Hitler prepared the minds of the German people to kill millions of people he designated as not being white by presenting in the newspapers and in the magazines, they didn't have TV then, or in the movies, despicable images of Jews. And so they looked in the magazines and the newspapers as not being human. And so if you're not human, then what does it matter if I put you in a gas chamber and kill millions of you? Well, this is exactly what is being done with black people in the media today. Black people, if you turn on the television at any point, the images that are portrayed of black people are stupid, buffoonish, thuggish, and trashy women. And then simultaneously, we want to talk about there ought to be affirmative action, that black people ought to have jobs. But black people are being portrayed as being subhuman, which is the same term that was applied by Hitler to the Semites of the Jewish religion, the German term being Tiermensch, meaning animal people, less than human. You see, but we don't understand. We don't understand. We think because somebody says this is a capitalistic, democratic system. System of democracy as opposed to white supremacy, and so black people are confused and deceived into thinking it's just about money. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest athletes in all time, was just kicked to the curb,
right,
by the owners of the Wizards. He thought that he was being related to as an equal. The newspaper articles that I read had him saying that, you know, they didn't even give him the courtesy of talking to him ahead of time. They just dismissed him. Now, he's a multimillionaire, a great athlete, but hey, He's not white.
So
and so he was kicked to the curb, and the article said that he was shocked.
Yes, it did.
You see, meaning he thought he was in, and then he was kicked to the curb. He thought he was accepted, but he was just kicked to the curb.
Well, you speak of Michael Jordan. I look at the three MJs. Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, and there was another MJ. I forget the other. And also Bill Clinton.
Not OJ.
Yeah, that's an OJ. Now, and all these individuals fall under the premise of being accepted.
Well, you see, but this is what black people were programmed to seek acceptance. You see, I would dare say that's in the minds of 99% of black and other non-white people under white supremacy to seek acceptance. But once you understand white supremacy is about white genetic survival, then the acceptance is in the form of tackiness. You see, it's like not really accepted.
This is Ted Terry. You're listening to the Ted Terry Show on the Blank Radio Network. My guest is Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. Segregation and integration, Dr. Welsing. Was it a good thing or bad thing, integration?
Well, wait a minute. Let's go back.
How are you going to go
back? Black people, since we were brought to this area of the world,
right,
have been seeking to get out from under oppression.
Okay.
And so if the oppression was termed as segregation, meaning simply laws that restrict it, then desegregation would be what people would think of as the answer. Just like if chains were the problem, then take off the chains. But it was because, you know, but it's, you can't fault people for, you know, if you have chains around, then you want the chains taken off. That's your analysis of the problem. I have chains on. I don't want the chains on. Please take the chains off. But once you begin to understand, well, wait a minute, those chains were a part of a total system of white supremacy, white genetic survival on planet Earth. Do you see, then you have another concept of what the solution to the problem is. For example, if you went to the doctor and you had a cough, if the doctor wasn't thorough, the doctor might give you a prescription for cough syrup.
You're listening to Point West, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, on Point West on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Pneumonia, or whether you had lung cancer. The treatment for those different diagnoses or analyses, medical analysis is a diagnosis, would be different. Cough syrup does not treat lung cancer.
That's true.
Do you see, simply yes. Removing the chains does not solve the problem of a system that's goal objective is white genetic survival on planet Earth, because the white population is a tiny minority population that is genetic recessive, that has to dominate and control in order to survive as white. That is, unless all of the non-white people on the planet agree, and this is being proposed by people who are into the science of counter-racism, if indeed the great underlying fear on the white part of the white population is that the fear of genetic annihilation, then all non-white people should contract with people who classify themselves as white. We will agree to not have sex with white people down through the generations so that there won't be the chance of genetic annihilation by people of color. If this will help stop this unjust behavior that is going on planet Earth.
That was a profound statement you just made, Doctor.
Well, the statement, the concept really came from Neely Fuller.
Yeah, and
who said to me, well, Francis, if your analysis is white genetic, the fear of white genetic annihilation, then the majority people on the planet should contract you say to white people in total seriousness, no, we will refrain from having sexual relations with people who classify themselves as white so that the white population can remain white. Do you see? But in psychiatry, we talk about secondary gains. Once the system of racism and white supremacy has been established, and the non-white people are oppressed and inferiorized, and then the people who classify themselves as white, if they feel inadequate in terms of their genetics, such as greed is stimulated, so I have to have all the gold and all the oil and all the land, and I have to be in control of everything. Do you see what I'm saying? They might not just be satisfied with non-white people saying, we agree and contract with you to not have sexual relations.
To maintain your survival? Or...
Do you see, just like, you know, when they say endangered species, and
yes,
then they start taking steps so that the species is no longer endangered.
You assisted Neely Fuller in publishing his work, Textbook for Victims of Racism and White Supremacy in the 60s. What are some of your greatest moments in working with Neely Fuller?
Well, I wouldn't say greatest moments. I would, because I was talking to him just last night. He lectured at my institute.
Uh-huh.
And I consider that he is one of the most important thinkers in the 20th and the 21st century, because he was the first person to say racism, to look at the language that was being used, segregation, desegregation, resegregation, discrimination, and to begin to perceive that the language itself is very confusing, and that what actually exists on this planet was a total system of thought, speech, and action covering all areas of people activity so that you would have the power equation of white over non-white. So I consider this to be, you know, some of the most, well, you see, there's no problem on the planet that is greater than the problem of racism, white supremacy. There's no problem on the planet. The United Nations just said it's a crime against humanity. Do you see? Now, this is affecting
yes.
9/10 of all the people on the planet who are black, brown, red, and yellow, shades of black.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the greatest problem impacting the lives of human beings on the planet. Well, here comes a black man who, he said, sitting on a radar site in Japan during the Korean War, up in that rarefied air, sitting alone guarding a radar site, that he started thinking about the problem that, as it manifested itself in the area of the world we call the United States. And he came up with the concept that this is a total system. And so I met him in 1967 and thought, because then at that point, I was a psychiatrist looking for the answers for the mental health problems of black people. And so I was looking for a more in-depth explanation as to what racism was about. And so that's when I encountered Mr. Neely Fuller and said, these are very profound ideas that this gentleman has come up with, and it's helping me in my work as a psychiatrist in helping people become mentally healed or mentally well. And I just determined I've got to help him get this book published.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took 17 years. When I look back and think about it, you know, I never thought, well, okay, you'll work with somebody to help them get their book published for 17 years, but it did take 17 years. And I consider his thinking, although he's an extremely modest person, his thinking is like the answer to the problem that Du Bois said in The Souls of Black Folks, 1903. The problem of the 20th century is the question of the color line. And here comes the man in the 20th century, mid-20th century, that says, I think I have insight into what this color line, the color line being the line of white supremacy, what this problem is all about. And that helped me then raise the question, well, why would it exist on planet Earth? Not only the fact it does exist, but why would it exist? And that's when I came up with, well, it has to do with the demographics. It has to do with the fact that whites are a tiny minority on the planet, and they're genetic recessive, which caused them to constantly project that it was black people who were genetically inferior to white people. But it was actually white people subconsciously feeling that something was wrong with their genetics, which is why they suntan.
Right. Dr. Francis Press Welsing, you're the author of the ISIS papers. Now, they can get the ISIS papers via Amazon.com, is that correct?
I think so, yes.
Right, and also Keys to Color as well. Keys to Color.
ISIS papers, the subtitle, is the Keys to Color.
Right, okay. Yeah. So they can get it at Amazon.com. And you also mentioned the Mein Kampf, that African Americans, black people need to read Mein Kampf. Is that true?
Oh, Adolf Hitler's work, Mein Kampf.
M-E-I-N,
mine is Mein Kampf is struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's Adolf Hitler's work. And the reason that, I mean, Adolf Hitler continues to be a very, very, very popular figure. I mean, from time to time, you know, you turn on the television, on the History Channel, there's something about Adolf Hitler. Because he had, you know, made one of the clearest statements about white supremacy and what people who classify themselves as white must do to maintain white purity or to maintain white genetic survival. He didn't use my terms. But the purity of the Aryans or the purity of whites. So I say that people need to read this. I would really even advocate that the Semites of the Jewish religion stop talking about it, that it was about religion. It wasn't about religion. Adolf Hitler said it was about the fact of their race and that they were not white. That's what the term Semite actually means, mulatto. People don't want to deal with that. And if we would really look, we would see, well, gosh, Adolf Hitler went after the Semites of the Jewish religion. And now we have wars against people who are Semites of the Islamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
See, that ought to be quite profound to people, meaning non-white people. They're being called terrorists.
Mm. Back to the word game again.
Back to the word game. Do you see, it's like terror. What is the deepest terror for people who classify themselves as white is white genetic annihilation. So that means that all of the non-white people on the planet represent...
Okay, we're going to close out this part of the interview, as you can see what most of it is, and she explained about white annihilation and why racism existed. This was a dynamic interview that she gave, and we'll probably have more down the line, but I wanted to get people could hear her voice and see what she had to say. And of course, she mentioned Neely Fuller. They worked closely together at times. Okay, this has been the first hour of Point West here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Stay tuned for the second hour, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Dr. Omar Johnson.
greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.
You're listening to TalkTainment Radio.